Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3, and we are back live with the next episode of the Journey to Earth podcast. It's good to see you guys on here. We are your hosts. We kept the names again because we're very bad hosts, but I am Nickel and Dimes and Jammin' Jambrum coming at you again from our last episode. But yeah, guys, no, thanks again for tuning in. We're really excited to dive in and keep uncovering the planet one episode and one podcast at a time. So, Matt, what's going on? Are we ready to jump in? How are we feeling today?
I'm ready, man. I feel, you know what? I started drinking mushroom coffee. Have you ever had that?
No, but I've been very intrigued. How is it?
You know, it's okay.
I really appreciate that because I've been very hesitant to buy a bag.
It's expensive as hell. But I don't know. I feel okay. I'm just thinking like, cause it's getting late, you know, and I was like, man, I need something. I'm gonna try the mushroom coffee for tonight. Mm-hmm. And yeah, maybe it is helping, but I did have a cup. It tastes only okay. You can like spice it up. I did read that you can put it in your coffee, like your actual coffee.
All right.
I tried that too the other day. That wasn't really all that great. So I'm trying to figure it out. You know, I kind of went through this stage when I was drinking matcha. I always just seem to go back to coffee.
I've been intrigued on the mushroom coffee. So it's helpful to have that review
because
I've been
Facebook
tempted.
Facebook ads, man, they get me. Yeah. You know, they've been showing up.
Powerful.
This is how it works. They've been showing up in my feed for the past year. And all of a sudden, I was like, I need mushroom coffee. Yeah. I don't even know where it came from, and I bought it. Like, I didn't even have to think about it.
Damn it, Mark Zuckerberg. You got me again.
It took me a year, but I was like, I'm buying it, and I don't even care how much it is. So I got it, and it's, you know, it's okay.
I got a little tea going for me right now, but I might be doing a different mushroom coffee blend so I can give my review on the next one. We'll see. Whatever gets us through. All right, man. Well, since you're sitting down, I'm going to lay it on you. So a reaction happened for the first time in history in the scientific community. That's never been done before. So the breaking news is at a lab called the National Ignition Facility at the Lawrence National Lab in California, they just made history and accomplished something called nuclear fusion. But the reason why it was so groundbreaking was because for the first time in history, they were able to, in a fusion reaction, generate more energy from the output than it took to make the reaction from the input. Now, what that means is fusion has been kind of deemed this incredible feat that we've never been able to achieve in science before because of how versatile it can be for civilization and humanity for our, you know, complete future. But we've never been able to have that reaction happen before. But for the first time in history, this lab was able to generate more energy than it took to make that reaction happen, which means we've basically made a proof of concept of a nuclear fusion reaction to have a better, clean alternative fuel source moving forward for civilization for here on out.
Okay.
There's a lot there.
I feel like I should be really excited.
There's a lot there.
I'm just really confused. Okay.
Start from your top.
All right. First of all, so nuclear, all right, we're talking nuclear reactors and all that stuff, right? So we're still promoting the use of that, right?
So yes and no. So the nuclear reactors that we have right now, it's a different sort of nuclear reaction. Okay.
Okay.
I believe it's technically like nuclear fission. So what we're doing at the current for most of the nuclear power plants that are in service right now, what we're doing is basically heating up like a uranium atom, and the heat, when we heat that up, then creates the energy. However, that creates a decent amount of radioactive waste. But nuclear energy as a whole is a very clean source of energy. As long as you don't have a nuclear breakdown like Chernobyl. So nuclear, the only output is actually water vapor. And I actually want to cover that on another episode because it's actually a pretty cool topic. But nuclear fusion, the process how nuclear fusion works is, and this, you know, I'm not a physicist here, but this is from what I understood from what I found, is you have two atoms. I believe one is, it might be like two hydrogen atoms, I believe. And you basically merge those two atoms together. And when you merge those atoms together, they create one larger, like nucleus, an atom together. And the only byproduct of that reaction is, I think, helium and energy. So there's no carbon dioxide, there's no methane, there's no nitrous oxide. But this process, we have known that it's been possible, but we've never been able to actually replicate it. We've been able to do nuclear fission with the heating of it, but this has never been done before, man. For the first time ever, like, wow, we've created nuclear fusion where it's basically an alternative, and it doesn't, from what I understand, and I, you know, could be a little bit wrong here, it doesn't create as much radioactive waste as well. It's a very small amount. But this has been deemed as this incredible sustainable energy source that scientists have been trying to achieve this for at least decades, if not centuries. And this has been like a high, you know, top shelf achieving goal that's never been done before because of how versatile this could be for, you know, the different kinds of utilizations we can have for it. But it's officially finally been done in this laboratory.
Where was it again? Where was the lab?
It was in California. It was the Lawrence National Lab in California.
So has it been like repeated? Like, has this had been repeated? Like, have they been able to like recreate this reaction every time? Or do you know anything like how so often?
I don't think because of how expensive
like,
is it.
Like, hey, we did it. It's possible we can do this. Now we're going to study it further.
100%. Okay. That's the one. Okay. Yeah, this was really, they were kind of in the experimental phase of just trying to make it happen. But they've been trying to make it happen for decades and no one's been able to finally do it.
Wow.
And they finally did.
What was the catalyst that allowed it to go through? Like what was stopping them before and then what allowed them to now finally just make this happen?
I think the problem was the amount of energy that it took to make the reaction happen. It wasn't energy positive.
Okay.
So I think they were able to, I believe they were able to make it happen before. However, it was so energy intensive, there was no point to actually do it. You know what I mean? So maybe, for example, like in previous experiments, it was probably, this took 100 megajoules to produce 1 megajoule of fusion, but we're still minus 99 megajoules. So what's the point of this? This time we input 100 megajoules of power, but the output was 101.
That's pretty incredible, man. I mean, to think that they're still moving forward with nuclear anything, you know, I thought that was something everybody was trying to get away from. However, I could totally see benefits in this. The emissions aren't nearly as catastrophic to the environment as
not at all
anything else, you know. So it is always, you know, been touted as a cleaner energy, but this is just even more clean. So what are the applications? Like, what you would use it for? What, to power what? Anything, everything, like electricity, like
literally anything. And from the article that I saw, they thought that this was decades and decades and decades away to creating a power, like a full-blown operational power plant to start powering freaking cities. Now they're probably thinking we're closer to 30, 50 years away to getting our first power plant operational, which is like, that sounds light, dude. That is insanely incredible because not only are we working towards getting everything renewable energy scaled up for a cleaner society, now you're going to be able to introduce a fusion side of that if we want to invest in that as well as another source where maybe we can get to the point where it makes more sense to even start building more fusion reactors instead of, you know, having to make solar panels or wind turbines or something to that effect. You know, maybe this is going to be cost effective if we can start doing more research and development in that way. Cause this one, I mean, to make this happen, it was billions and billions of dollars to finally make this happen,
sure,
you know, but the problem is you're spending all this money because you don't know where that fine success point is, but now you have a place to start from. And this is where really the groundwork happens because now you've had, you know, success one, and now how do we get success two cheaper and success three even better and more efficient, you know? Cause I think in this reaction, dude, it took like 196 lasers all pointed directly at the atom. I don't know how people can breathe this freaking brilliant, but they are, and they're out there, and I'm glad they're working on great things like clean power for a society.
Man.
But just incredible, man. Absolutely incredible. So, I mean, just in terms of like a renewable energy and clean energy society, this was such a massive win. I mean, again, it's still eons away from being to a point where we can like fully rely on this power. But I mean, if you're thinking like generations to come, man, I mean, there's really no reason why this can't be a significant part of our energy source. And it's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, so, and you were saying that the waste though was, say that again about the waste.
So there's still a small amount of nuclear waste, but from, I believe that because it's nuclear fusion, it's not as, I don't think you can have the same kind of level of meltdown from it. I could be wrong there, but I also know that we haven't really spent any money in terms of trying to innovate, you know, nuclear waste, because everything that we did, you know, a couple of decades ago after Chernobyl, we cut everything. We just stopped building, you know? So there hasn't really been as much investments in like, okay, well, we have, you know, uranium and radioactive waste. How can we get rid of it? But if we start seeing the, you know, benefits of stuff like this, maybe we can take that waste and then turn it into something else and use it to generate another reactor. I think that was already a thing. Like, I think Bill Gates was a leading guy on that, and he was working with like nuclear physicists, and they found a way to do it. But it's just great.
Yeah, because I know, like, with like the uranium and all that, I'm pretty sure, like, I read a while ago, like, that the way they get rid of it is by burying it in like these underground like lined ditches, you know, they like,
yeah,
ditches,
like
these big,
come on,
giant holes, and they line them with all this material so it doesn't seep you know, through. But I mean, how long is that material gonna,
it's gonna break down eventually, like, you know, like,
yeah. I didn't even know that they this is interesting to me, man. I had no idea that they were even still, like, yeah, I had no idea they were even still trying to like play with the idea of nuclear or anything.
Yeah,
you know, so that's pretty wild.
Yeah, I mean, they've dubbed nuclear fusion as, like I said, like a top shelf type of energy that we can rely on, probably because it's probably like land inclusive, where we probably don't need as much land for it. Because, I mean, dude, you think for nuclear, like, you know, normal nuclear reactions that we have now, for, you know, those reactors, they don't take up a lot of land space. You know, it's just building the facility. But I mean, dude, there's one up the road for me. I want to say it's maybe 20 minutes up the road. And it produces power for, I mean, thousands of homes. It's crazy. So
yeah,
it's really not right. That bad, you know, but there just hasn't been really any research and development in this field because of all of the terrible things that have happened. And, you know, for good reason, like, I understand why we stopped. However, we also, you know, full speed ahead, went over to more fossil fuels because of that. So, right. I mean, pros and cons to like everything, right? You know,
it's so funny that you say that, because, like, if you think about the last conversation we had about the plastics, you know, the reason why plastics came about is because they were touting that it was a better alternative. It was better for the environment because, you know, we're saving trees, you know, but there's a negative consequence to almost everything. Like, we are imperfect. You know, the only thing that we could do is literally like live like a herd of deer and just like live off the land and like not touch anything or try to create. So it's like, yeah, choices have impact. And it's, you got to wonder, man, like, you know, we're on this earth to do, I mean, this is going to be very philosophical, and I don't mean to go down this road, but like, how else do we live? You know, like, if we weren't made to evolve and to learn new things and to try new things, you know, like, it just seems like every step we take has a negative impact on the planet, no matter what it is.
Right.
We try, you know, but it's just, you gotta, I don't know. It's always something I always wonder, like, how do we not create weight? How do we not cause an issue?
Yeah.
Just by living, you know, it's just like, I don't know. That whole entire philosophical thought, you know, I can think about that for.
Yeah. No, I mean,
I feel like I'll never find that answer.
I
like,
get it, dude.
What is the answer? What are we supposed to do here? Like, without causing an environmental impact?
Right. I think what humanity does is we stop and, like, let's just use the plastic and paper bag example, because it's simple and easy to understand. In that moment of time, we said, okay, right now we're cutting down all these trees. This is not good. We need an alternative. We can use oil and create millions and trillions of pounds of this material, and we can save all of our forests. And I think this is going to be great. I don't think necessarily we had awful intentions there. I think we probably made that, like you said, for a good thing, and we thought it was going to be good. However, I think what humanity usually lacks is we lose our ability to look farther ahead than the here and now. I think we take a minute and we're like, okay, these bags are going to help us save these trees now. But before we start scaling that kind of decision, I mean, even just person to person, you know, there's things like that. But when you're introducing a whole new system into the world, or a new product that's going to be used by every single person basically on the planet, you really need to study that stuff more, you know, like, to me. And if you know you're going to be making different types of it, and you know it's going to be releasing a lot of carbon emissions, and I understand the versatility of it, I think what we need to do is build systems and have them in place as a backup, to in case that doesn't really go the way we think. Because I think if we do, and we start to build systems like that, I'd feel better. Because let's say we invent something tomorrow. For example, let's say the nuclear fusion thing right now, we think it's a holy grail. What if in 50, 60 years there is a problem with it and we don't know about it yet? I think before we start building that, you know, don't let money take over. I think you really need to stop and
think.
That
seems to be the pattern.
It's humanity's pattern. Yes, because you really should stop and say, okay, like right now this is a great solution and right now this is, you know, really tailoring to our needs. But for the generations to come after us, like what kind of solutions are they going to have to try to invent to get out of the problem that we may be making? And none of that stuff is really thought about because I feel like money is just the first thing on everyone's mind as usual, you know? And it's, I think there needs to be more, I think there needs to be like a more democratic decision on that kind of level of change on a global scale because it affects people, you know, even AI and stuff like that, you know? I mean, this stuff has serious repercussions, man.
I know, you know, and I feel like, you know, the AI stuff sometimes, I mean, this is kind of going off on a little side.
It's right. It's still relative. Yeah. AI,
but like, I was like reading about, you know, some of the things that they're doing and it was like, it's like they're, the AI was able to like perfect, like cutting an onion, like the something like crazy like that. And I'm like, why are you like,
yeah,
trying to get that? Like, I don't understand it. Like, maybe I'm just naive. Maybe there's going to be great things that you're going to be able to do with AI and all that stuff. But I feel like, yeah, it's a great example because I feel like at what point are we going to be teaching these things too much or like where we can't stop? Like, so, and then the same thing with like what we're doing with the planet, you know, like with plastics or with nuclear and all that. Like, at what point are we going to stop to say we messed up? Like, we went a little too far. Unfortunately, that only seems to happen when it's too far. You know, like when we've gone too far, we don't have a good history.
And then it's out of mind.
Yeah. Cause I mean, think about it. I mean, they're like, oh yeah, let's party. Let's celebrate. We got this, you know, but like, yeah, man, I agree. I think a lot more tests and a lot more studies need to be done. But unfortunately I don't think that's how the world works.
No. And I think it's a serious thought to make that happen. These things need to be thought about more that, like I said, on an organizational wide, these decisions and mindsets are thought of more. So how come they're not on massive scales when you're talking about nuclear energy or the new invention of an item that we have no idea how to degrade it ever. And we're going to release it in every type of matter we possibly can.
I mean, even like I know there was like some like weird conversations about like, well, I remember when 3G was like the thing for our phones and like there was talk about like the negative impacts of 4G and then now we're at 5G and I was just like, we don't really hear about 4G being an issue anymore. Is 5G like,
so how bad is 5G?
Maybe I'm just not, maybe I should look into that one. I don't know. Cause it seems like every single time I think of a topic and I look into it, it's terrible.
Yeah.
But I'm like, yeah, but you got to wonder like, you know, all these things that we think we're doing to help ourselves are really just, I mean, man, we are just going in the wrong direction in so many different levels.
You know what, dude? At the end of the day, I think the silver lining is technology usually always has a solution for us. I think our ability to create technological solutions is always going to be our silver lining and our help because that's really all we've ever known, right? I mean, all we do is really, and not, you know, I'm not saying the big companies are the ones that usually do. It's usually other people that do. But the innovators then create the, you know, needed change in the pendulum swing for the big companies to take notice, you know? And my prime example with that is in like, you know, I know he's controversial a little bit now, but I mean, let's just take, for example, I mean, Elon Musk inventing Tesla. Do you think any of these companies would be launching the EV cars that they have right now if Tesla didn't take some of the market share away? Just an example there, man, you know, because all of a sudden Tesla takes 1 or 2% of global car sales, but 20-30% of EVs. Now, all of a sudden these companies are, oh, like there's demand for this product. Let's change. Now you see all these massive companies, you know, now all of a sudden changing their entire infrastructure, dude, you know, and I think it's the same thing with plastic bags and paper. And I think it's the same point with AI and all those things. I just think at the end of the day, I think technology usually is a silver lining and solution. I think that's my punchline, dude. And I'm a big believer in that. I think I always will. And I'll probably say it on podcast episodes to come because all of these problems, we've found solutions because of technology, you know, even just dating back to the earliest types, you know, I mean, the wheel was technology, you know, it was not the same kind of technology we see now, but Industrial Revolution, you know, the cotton gin was technology, you know, like the train was technology, the car was technology. We just advance that and then we take it farther. And, you know, I think it's the same thing with like with cars, like, well, these were running on fossil fuels, but we can still have that piece of technology and make it better and cleaner. It just takes time, you know, and hopefully this is going to be a similar situation with, you know, AI and nuclear energy and stuff like that, because there's benefits to those things if handled responsibly. All right, guys, we'll close us out. Thanks for joining us today as we keep uncovering and reforesting the planet. And we will see you guys on the next episode of the Journey to Earth podcast. Till then, guys.